1 and 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Colossians chapter number 1. And we'll read verse number 14. The Bible says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Praise God. And I want to preach for a few minutes this morning about we have redemption through his blood. Amen. We have redemption through his blood. Thank you, Jesus, for your word today. Thank you, God, for your help, for your power, for your strength today. Pray, God, that you would help us. The anointing of the Spirit would be upon us and about us today. Lord Jesus, touch us, touch our hearts, our minds. Talk to us, Father. Talk to us, O Lord. Talk to us, God. We'll be quick to give you the glory and the honor. Hallelujah. Would you lift your voice and just thank the Lord for what he has done for you? Praise God. God bless you, and you may be seated. Amen. The word redemption simply means that it is the action of saving or being saved from sin or error or evil. And I am thankful for that work of redemption that is in our lives. You understand that the easy way to believe would be to purpose and to believe in your heart that there is a method called once saved, always saved. That's the easy plan. That's the easy way. But I would say that for anyone and everyone that truly thinks about this, I would feel that there is probably some kind of question that is there because of the propensity of mankind to get himself into trouble so often and so quickly. Amen. Amen. Even if you were to believe a once saved, always saved doctrine, how can you look at those that have accepted the Lord as their personal Savior and then went on to commit some heinous crime, something that would stagger all of viewers, hearers, readers, listeners, and such. If you were to believe that, how could you look at somebody who was quote-unquote a born-again Christian and then see them on trial for the acts that they have committed and the lewdness that they have committed against children or any of those things? You would think to yourself, how can it be that God would save such an individual in their sins? How could it be that an individual that has been named, created a believer, how can it be that they can do such a thing and are, and how can they be saved from such an act? I am not here to declare that those that commit such acts are forever lost. The Bible teaches us about the grace of God. The Bible teaches us about the forgiving power of God. Amen. And the mercies of God. Amen. But let us not be ignorant and just negligent concerning such beliefs. Amen. That there is no sin that is going to enter into heaven. The Bible teaches us in Matthew chapter number 1, when the angel of the Lord came unto Mary and declared that his name would be called Jesus, the baby that she was going to give birth to, and that it would be Emmanuel, God with us. And then the declaration was that he should save his people from their sins. Amen. That stanza of saving saving somebody from their sin signifies, man, that you have got to be separated from your sins. That anybody that is going to be saved has got to be separated, cleansed, and forgiven of their sins. And I thank God that He possesses the power and not only the ability but the desire to forgive us from our sins. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so this word redemption is the action of saving, the ongoing action of saving or being saved from sin, from error, and from evil. In the book of Hebrews chapter number 9, amen, the Bible says, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood is no remission. The Amplified Version says, in fact, under the law, almost everything is purified by the means of blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is neither release from sin and its guilt, nor the remission of the due and merited punishments for sins. Praise God. Amen. There must be blood that is shed. Amen. It is only through the blood that there can be remission, atonement for sins. We understand the purpose and the necessity of the blood in the Old Testament. But when it comes to the New Testament, we are told and taught about the blood of Jesus. Amen. And its power to be able to wash us and to cleanse us and to set us free. Colossians chapter number 1 gives us an in-depth understanding concerning the blood. And we our minds are opened to the understanding of the blood. Amen. As it would begin to read in our text, in whom we have redemption through the blood, even the forgiveness of sin, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers or things created by him, or all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. What he did right there was he set down his authority card. Amen. He set down his right, amen, and his power, privileges, and abilities there. He declared who that he was, who that he was speaking of concerning, amen, and amen, his abilities. He says that by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. He said that all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Amen. He declares that all things are by him. He declares the abilities that he possesses and what that he can do. Amen. And then he says that in his body of his flesh through death to present us holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. And it is all through the blood that he shed at Calvary's cross. Amen. Praise God. He said, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Praise God. I am not here to tell you that I possess the ability to explain the blood. Amen. Concerning the church. I am not here to give you revelations and all understandings concerning that precious yet most powerful blood that was shed for our redemption, for our saving and our sanctification. But I will tell you that what I read throughout the scriptures, I can declare that there is enough power in one drop of blood that was shed at Calvary to wash away every sin that was ever committed from Adam until this present day. I will declare and tell you, amen, that there was enough blood, power in one drop of blood to take away the sins of the whole world and to deliver every sinner, to set free every drug addict, to set free every alcoholic, and to set free every harlot, to set free every sinner, no matter what vice that they would be bound under. Amen. Thank God that it set you free. And thank God that it set me free. And that we are here today rejoicing in the liberty of the Spirit and of the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Because of the blood that was shed, you did not deserve, amen, the forgiveness of sins. You did not deserve, amen, the freedom. You did not deserve the remission that was given unto you. Amen. You were not worthy. And if you were worthy one time, I ask, amen, were you worthy the second time? What about the third and the fourth time? What about the 100th time? There has been enough blood that was shed at Calvary to set every man free. And not just free once, but again and again. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ knew, amen, the enemy, amen, and his desire to try to destroy you. You have fallen. You have come short. You have sinned. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But there has been blood and more blood and plenteous blood that was shed for us at Calvary so that we could be set free from our sins. Let's love him here today. Praise God. Amen. The song says, what can wash away my sins? The answer is nothing but the blood of Jesus. It says, what can make me whole again? And the answer is still nothing but the blood of Jesus. Peter declared it in his epistle. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Amen. There is no other blood that is like his blood. Because the Lord bought the church with his blood, the church belongs to him. It is that efficacious blood that possesses the power to set the vilest sinner free if he desires to be set free. It is that blood that is able
able to break every bind, to break every chain of hell that the enemy has upon an individual. I want you to know that there are not enough devils in hell that will keep you bound if you want to be delivered, all because of just one drop of blood. But how many pints of blood is in a body? I want you to know that he shed enough blood. Enough blood would have been just one drop of blood. I just want to bring it to your attention. The power of one drop of blood that is able to cleanse us from all of our sins. Hallelujah. Let's love him today. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I don't know how many messages have been preached concerning the blood of Jesus. The focal point of Easter service Sunday's messages would be upon the blood that would be shed. But yet that blood, a man that was shed one time, in the Old Testament, once a year, that atoning blood, amen, for atonement, as they would bring the blood of bulls and the blood of bullocks and sacrifice them to be able to roll their sins forward and ahead of them, to do it all again in another year. Amen. I want you to know that insufficiency of that blood, because that there was a lamb that was killed, and then there was another that was a goat that was the escape, and they would take that blood and they would put the curses upon that animal, and they would send him forth, amen, into the wilderness, and the hope was that animal would never show up again, because the belief was that if that animal showed back up, if that animal that had been condemned by the placement of sins upon his head by the priest, then their sins had returned unto him, unto them, and they did not want that to happen. When that animal was pushed off and bid to go and released into the wilderness, their prayers was that it would forever be lost. That came to an end at Calvary when the blood that was shed, amen, it signified that your sins don't possess the ability to come back and to haunt you again. Amen. Hebrews declared that it was more than the blood of bulls and of bullocks. It was more than blood, amen, of an animal, even though that it was a spotless animal that had come to present itself at Calvary's cross. A blood that has more effect upon it than just 12 months of time and needing fresh blood or renewed blood. But a blood that was shed over 2,000 years ago yet still possesses the same power, the same ability, amen, that it did for those that spit upon him, for those that hurled curses at him and accusations and would punch and beat him. For those that would plait a crown of thorns upon his head, that blood is still powerful enough in this day and time to do what it did in that day and time. It's precious blood, and we have redemption through that blood. Amen. The act of saving, the act of delivering us, the act of keeping us and saving us from sin and from error and from all evil. It is the precious blood of Jesus Christ. I want to bring out three things concerning this blood, amen, that should be able, would desire to help you concerning this today, amen, as I felt led to, amen. There is blood that was shed for you and I, amen. Not just for me, not just for you, not just for all of those that come,
For all of those that don't come, it is the present that is put aside so that when the sinner decides to come, should they ever decide to come, they can come and there is blood that is available to cover all of their sins, to forgive, to wash away all of their sins. Praise God. That very act alone is so mesmerizing. It is so incomprehensible. The Bible says, what manner of man would lay down his life for a friend? And yet we know that while we were yet sinners, that Christ died for us. We weren't best of friends. We weren't even acquaintances. We weren't kinship. Amen. We were basically enemies against God. Amen. Our actions reviled him. Our actions spoke against him. Our actions pushed him away, and yet he still died for us. I know that in that day and time that there would be those that would whip him and beat him and spit upon him and mock him and ridicule him and do all kinds of harsh and cruel things to him. But it didn't stop there. It went on with us. Amen. And the Lord knew our actions, our thoughts, and our ways, and how that we would sin against him. Praise God. And so there are things according to the blood that you and I need. The fact and the reality that we can come before the Lord and repent of our sins, and the blood would wash all of those sins away, is mesmerizing. And if the ability of the blood stopped right there, it would be sufficient. It would be enough. But it doesn't. It doesn't stop right there. Amen. And so I'm here to talk to you, to tell you about three things that we need from the blood. Amen. Number one, these are in no particular order, but this is the way that I have them, and I don't even have them because that I felt like it was the proper order. I just put them in this order just because that's how it came to my mind. But number one, we need to feel the power of the blood. We need to feel the power of the blood. In Hebrews chapter number 9 and verse number 14, it said, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. We as children of God, born again, washed and freed from our sins, living a life dedicated unto God, yet with the resistance of the enemy. And the way that the enemy comes against us relentlessly, over and over, day after day. The times that we have to get up and brush the dirt and the gravel from our knees and from our hands because that we have fallen. And all of those is tough. But there are some other things that is necessary for us to understand and to feel the power of the blood. And that is simply that there are these things that you and I seem to not be able to get away from. And we don't like it when they show up. We don't like it when they begin to rattle. But it's called the skeletons that are in our closets. The condemnations that just seem to never go away. The things that when you feel like you have just turned the corner, you've just crested the hill, you've just made it beyond, and you feel like you finally have gotten victory over.
over. It's those little things that come back to haunt you. Amen. It's those memories of the past that want to come back and just throw seeds of doubt and dismay and regret into your mind and cause you to dwell on that, to consider, where could I be if I had not done this or that? Where could I be if I would have just made that one choice a little bit different? Amen. Hindsight being 2020, you look back into that and you can tell, amen, it was this one thing that got me. Or you might be able to say, it was multiple things that pressured me and got, but yet those haunts and the memories of failures of yesterday. And there is nobody that is perfect in this place. There is nobody that can stand and say, since I've received the Holy Ghost, everything has been perfectly fine. And I've never sinned. I've never been overcome. Amen. I've never fallen to anything. And thank God that we've got that blood that is there. But so many of us wish that we could go back into certain areas and times, amen, in our lives, that we could just make a different decision. And if I wouldn't have done that, I wouldn't have the memories of that today. If I wouldn't have done that, I wouldn't have the imaginations of today. If I wouldn't have done that, I wouldn't know about this today. If I wouldn't have gone there, I wouldn't have experienced that. If I, amen, Hebrews writes it and points it and spells it out, that the blood, amen, that was offered without spot to God has the power to purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. I'm here today to let you, to tell you, let the past be the past. And when the devil comes in and begins to remind you of your past, you've got a God, amen, that says, I've already covered that by the blood. There is blood in the power it was shed at Calvary to be able to purge your conscience from every dead work. There's not too many new things that trip us up and hang us up. As a matter of fact, even those things that are considered or would be defined as new, when you begin to peel back the layers on them, you will see that it's just the same old spirit in a new set of clothes. It's the same old spirit in a different uniform, in a different costume. And you will see that it's typically that same spirit that got you to falter, got you to fail, got you to stumble, got you to hesitate, got you to think twice in the past. It's that same spirit. Why? Because the Bible says it like this, that when an unclean spirit is come out of a man, and I'm not going to go into demon possession, but just simply the fact that you were in sin, And we did according to the works of sin, according to the prince and the power of the air. Ephesians 2 tells us that when he has walked through dry places seeking rest and finds none, the Bible says that he comes back. Amen. It's not a different spirit necessarily that comes back. Amen. It's not because that spirit A was put out and so now spirit B tries to get. Amen. But it's spirit. It's that same old spirit. It's that same thing. Amen. Why try something new when it's worked in times past? Amen. That same old spirit comes lurking back, seeking, amen, rest, trying to find rest and looking looking to see if the house is occupied or if it has been left empty. That's why, amen, old spirits never die. They just come back around with a different costume, with a different facade, with a different make. They come back around, amen, haunting you, luring you, tempting you, trying to persuade you, but you got power through the blood, and we need to feel that power that is able to go in. You are able through the power of the blood to pull down every thought, to cast down imaginations. You are able to overcome. You don't have to think those things again. You don't have to go revisit. You don't have to go relive, amen, the traumas and the shortcomings that were in the past. The blood is able to purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. As a matter of fact, it said, how much more shall the blood of Christ purge your conscience? Amen. Those sins have been put in the sea of forgetfulness. Amen. In the sea of blood. And in order for the devil to bring them up, he's got to go through the bloodline to get them. Amen. I'm encouraging you today to leave them under the blood. Don't give time. That's where we falter and that's where we fail. When we sit there lost in thought, meditating, pondering, amen, on those failures or those actions of yesterday. We need to feel the power of the blood. Feeling the power of the blood. Number two, we need to understand the strength of the blood. I know that there is maybe little difference in consideration to feel the power of the blood and to understand the strength of the blood. But just bear with me for a moment. Revelations chapter number 12 and verse number 11, the Bible said, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They loved not their lives unto death." The blood of Jesus, amen, is able to purge our minds, our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. It possesses the power to do that. And we need to understand the strength of the blood. There is understanding, amen, that goes beyond just feeling the power of it. I understand that the Bible teaches us that we can submit ourselves, therefore, unto God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from us because of the power of the blood. But we need to understand the strength of the blood. When you begin to understand the strength of the blood, you will utilize the power of the blood. But you've got to understand. And so he says it like this in Revelations 12. "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb." I don't care what you face. I don't care what you're up against. I don't care where you are in life. I don't care, amen, what venture of life that you're in. I don't care what your hiccup is, what your susceptible to falling is. I want you to know that there is enough strength in the blood of Jesus Christ that you can overcome. The Bible says that we are made overcomers by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of his testimony. Amen. We are overcomers. You can defeat whatever is against you. You can overcome the pressure, amen, that are applied upon you. You need to feel the power of the blood, but you need to understand the strength of the blood. I don't have to be Satan's little whipping post. I don't have to, amen, feel insecure and inadequate. I've got a God. I've got a power that is much higher than I am. You don't have to feel, amen, like an alcoholic that that is going to AA and considering to themselves, thinking, I'm always going to be an alcoholic. One little slip, I'm going back into the vices of all of that. I'm always going to be an adulterer. I'm always going to be, amen, hooked on this. Amen. I'm going to have to be very, 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 very careful of all the. No, you do need to be careful, but you're not always going to be a sinner. You're not always, amen, going to be susceptible to all of that. If you rely upon the power of the blood, there is blood to make you victorious. There is blood to set you free. Amen. There is blood that has been set aside for your redemption. In whom we have redemption through his blood. Through his blood. Praise God. And that brings us to the third part. We need to feel the power. We need to understand the strength of. And we need to experience the covering of the blood. The covering of the blood. Praise God. Hallelujah. I, born and raised in Pentecost, and for years and years, I heard this saying throughout all of my life. I plead the blood of Jesus. I was probably late 30s, if not in 40s, when I heard a differing revelation about that I'm not even going to get into. And let me just say that if you have heard a differing revelation of that, then you know what? The choice is yours. The choice is yours. I'll just go ahead and say it, that there are those that said, well, I'm not going to say I plead the blood because that comes straight out of Catholicism. If that's Catholicism to you, then you believe it. I'm going to hold on to the blood. I choose to hold to the blood. You make it whatever you want to make it, but the blood was given to me for a purpose and for a reason. Amen. Amen. And I have experienced that blood. That blood that was spoken of in the book of Exodus chapter number 12. Amen. When the Lord said, and if you will allow me to say it in more of a revelatory term. Amen. The Lord speaking, and he told Moses to tell the children of Israel. He said, this is what you need to do. You need to get the blood of a lamb. And then he gave the prerequisite for the blood, for the lamb. A lamb of the first year, without spot, without blemish. And you're to take that lamb, and you are to bring it into your house. And he goes through all of that. And he said, you're going to partake of the lamb. You're going to eat it, and nothing shall be left. But then he also said, and we know this, he said, you're going to take that blood, and you're going to apply it to the doorpost. And you're going to apply it to the header. You're going to apply it on the sides of the door. And you're going to apply it above the door. Amen. Signifying that everything and everybody that comes through the blood, or that comes through the door, has got to come through the blood. You're going to have to experience the covering of the blood. That blood was put over that door. Amen. And this is the revelation of it. Judgment is coming to your house. Judgment is coming to the house. And to every house that does not have that door covered with blood, judgment is going to be able to walk through the door unmolested, unhindered. It's not necessarily that it is the death angel. It's not necessarily that it's God or that it would be the devil or anything. It's judgment. Judgment's coming. Judgment was not prejudiced by who was in that house. Judgment visited Pharaoh's house just as judgment visited the servant's house. Judgment visited the courts of Pharaoh's people, just as it visited, amen, every house throughout all of Egypt. And the Lord said, you got to put blood upon the door.
And that blood would be able to cover and to keep judgment away from you. There's a lot, hear me this morning. There's a lot of accusations, but that's not necessarily judgment. You see, the enemy can hurl accusations against you. The enemy can say, you know what, that's the Bible says. The Bible says, amen, that your adversary stands, that there is, amen, a representation in the heavens that is day and night speaking against you, hurling accusations against you. And you know, the crazy thing is some of these accusations may have been true. Maybe those accusations are already under the blood. Just because there is an accusation, and maybe the accusation is present day true, I would encourage you to experience the blood again. Praise God. Rahab, if you stay inside your house, and if this crimson thread, if this scarlet thread hangs out your window, judgment will pass your house. It's all about the thread, the theme of the blood that is there. You got to be under the blood. You got to be covered by the blood. Oh, you know, there's times that I feel I've come short. I feel like I haven't maintained. I haven't. And the enemy wants to throw railing accusations against me. You don't necessarily have vile sin to point his finger at and such. But I want you to know that the enemy doesn't need vile sin. I understand that sin is sin. Don't get me wrong. But you understand that the enemy is going to use every occasion, every little thing that he can possibly use to throw, to slant accusation your way. But accusation is not judgment. There are people that are not here this morning because they gave in to the devil's accusations and not to spiritual judgment. God is the one that judges man. God judges the thoughts and the actions of man. The devil just brings railing accusations against you. You're no good for nothing. Look at those thoughts that you've been having in your mind. You're such a failure. And the devil just continues to bring accusations, warring against your mind, constantly pressuring, barraging your mind. You're a loser. You're no good for nothing. Look, you failed to this. I saw what you did. Nobody else may have seen it, but I did. I saw you. I was looking over your shoulder at everything that you was looking at on that tablet, on that phone, on that screen. I was watching. You're such a hypocrite. Accusations, 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 accusations. Happens over and over and over and over again. But you need to be able to experience the covering of the blood. You need to be able to understand the strength of the blood. And you need to feel the power of the blood. Let's stand here this morning. I need the blood. And if I run outside of that house, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, I am the door. And if I go to the outside of that door, I'm no longer covered by the blood. Who can pluck you out of the Father's hand? There's nobody that can reach beyond that door and pull you out if you don't want to go out. But you can walk beyond those doors. And you can walk out and you would have to face judgment without the covering of the blood. You know how we're covered by the blood. That precious blood of Jesus Christ. When you repented of your sins and you went down in a baptistry in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of those sins, that blood was applied to your life. You can walk away from that experience and you can be just like every other sinner out there in the world. Or you can choose to stay inside. And the devil may have access to your mind, but if you experience and feel the power of the blood, that is able to purge your conscience from dead works. And you can understand the strength of the blood, that you can overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of your testimony. And you can be covered by the blood, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even to the forgiveness of sins. It's a work of redemption. It's not once saved, always saved. Just stay in the house. Stay on this side of the blood. Be covered in his blood. And when the devil throws those accusations against your mind, amen, allow the blood, amen, to be able to speak and to say, those sins are in. Amen. A sea of forgetfulness under the blood. Experience it. Understand it. Know it. Praise God. Thank God for the blood. Hallelujah.